FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
La 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 la. La 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 la. La 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 la. I represent Bahamian people. I from Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Right between West and Augusta, where them two roads meet, they call it Wilkinson Street. Manners and respect was like a sign blank check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days, bright telling greedy. Boy, I doing the best I can, trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people. I from Nassau, Bahamas.
Good night, Bahamas. And welcome to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. I am your host, Valentino O'Brien, host of the talk show Inside Inner City that premieres every Friday at 6:30 to 8 p.m. Our telephone numbers tonight are 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. And you can text us, powered by BTC, at 422-GR96. And also, you can listen on cable Bahamas, I think. You can go to 961, next station, and you can listen into Guardian Radio and listen to the show live. I also want to thank each and every one of you who are listening now to Inside Inner City, because I know it's a Friday night. Most people are enjoying themselves, but they also like to listen to the show because the show really talks about us. Many people like, oh, I'm outspoken, I'm truthful, I'm fair. But I speak about the things that needs to be spoken about in the country when a lot of people were not there to speak about the truth and injustice going on in our country. The reason I do that is because I want a better country. I come from a terrible background, and I have committed myself and transformed myself into being a noble citizen. Meaning I changed a lot of my ways. I changed the way I used to think. I look at the world in a different perspective. When I look back at my old life, and I see the resemblance in this life with many different people having those same characteristics, I see it, and I try to correct it. Not to attack it, but to address it by speaking on the matter. So I'm very thankful to each and every one of you that you love the show. And I appreciate each and every one of you. And I'm also doing this to encourage other people to look at life in a different perspective, and let's see if we just could uplift one another to make a better Bahamas, because only we can do it collectively as a team in this country. So I want to say thank you to each and every one of you, and I hope you enjoy the show tonight. I was going to have a special guest in tonight, Paul Melis. He's the secretary of the Bahamas.
Oh, excuse me. One second.
Yeah, he's the secretary of the, oh man, I'm so tired. But anyway, of the Fisheries Association, Bahamas Fisheries Association in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, and he was gonna talk about a number of topics tonight, but he was unable to make it tonight. But some of the topics he were gonna discuss, you know, concerning Starwich Bahamian, and I know Paul Melis, as a secretary, he is a real Bahamian. He fights for the rights of Bahamians. So before I go on to my next topic, because he's not here tonight, I'd just like to share you what he was going to discuss tonight, and then probably sometime this week, I mean, in this month, in December, we would have him come back on, rebook him. But he couldn't make it tonight because of, you know, it's Thanksgiving, you know, certain family events they're having in around this time. He stated that the National Fisheries Association is gravely concerned with the state of the fishing industry. We are faced with new and unprecedented challenges that have come suddenly and without any direct consultation, meaning that, you know, the fisheries was not notified and laws are just being passed. And it's just like, you know, well, whatever. He's talking about the new vessel registration fees on making boat ownership unaffordable for all Bahamians. So I'm guessing he's saying the increase in prices for the boat fees is ridiculous in the country. And you can imagine, you know, my cousin was talking about it earlier today and yesterday. And a few times we talked about it. And Paul, you know, he addresses this also. He said, you know, this is the Bahamas. We are native. You know, this is our natural environment. And we shouldn't be charged ridiculous prices to get our boats, you know, registered in the country. You know, we're supposed to be the lowest. If anyone's going to be able to get a boat, a high boat registry, it's like when I look at the news and I look at the Bahamas, you know, I even see that that capsule would explode it, you know, with those billionaires, you know, a few months ago. That was registered in the Bahamas. Not, you know, and that was a billionaire. And that was a billionaire company, you know, and that was registered in the Bahamas. And the Bahamas has one of the largest boat registry in probably in the world, you know. There are a lot of ships, you know, that are not from the Bahamas, but are directly registered here. Through different channels and companies here. So, you know, we could charge them ridiculous prices, you know, because they use our waterways and they use the license from the Bahamas to go anywhere in the world. Reason why? We are no threat to no country in the world, okay? We don't have no nuclear weapons. We don't have no bombs. We don't have no warplane. We don't have no tanks, you know, so we're in threat to nobody. So, and everyone loves the Bahamas. So once our flag is shown, we could go in any country, jurisdiction, international water, you can get a free pass, okay? So that's why it needs to be looking too. But the natives here who live in the country with these ridiculous prices they're charging to get your boat registered in the country, it should not be accepted. It should not be unheard. It should not be even be put on the books to even consider that, you know? Because this is the Bahamas. We have 700 islands, 700 keys, you understand? And it's our right as Bahamians, you know, especially we're an island nation, you know, even though we become a concrete nation, you know, and I think that's where we're going wrong, being a concrete jungle. I think we're supposed to be a concrete jungle and an island. We're trying to just become a concrete jungle, and that could be a big, big problem. We want to regulate everything. We want to regulate, like in the United States of America, they're trying to regulate the waters. The water that you drink, you know, you can't turn on your sprinklers. You want to do that in the Bahamas. You know, they have regulation on the fishing, yes. Our land and sea park has been protected for over 200 years in the country. And we, and Andres, you know, we have the best, what we call that? We call that the tongue of the ocean. But on the side of Andres, we feed the world of fish because of the restrictions we have on no long-line fishing. You can't use certain scuba gear. You can't use tanks, no compressors. Certain compressors you can't lose. You can't use. You're not allowed to, you know, use certain nets, you know. So we protect our fish. You know, that's why we have such abundant of fishes from around the world, and they spawn out to different parts of the world because we have protection. So our regulation, you know, far as concerning us protecting it, it's quite good. But now we are trying to regulate and put high prices on Bahamians in the country. No, you can't put high prices, taxes on the Bahamian people that registered a boat. No, you put it on all those ships that register in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas that do not reside in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas. Citizens don't own those ships. And we have one of the largest registry of ships that are registered in the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, but they are not Bahamians. So if we're going to increase taxes on the locals, I think that's a no-no. All we need to do is collect all the revenue of the ship registered to foreign companies and organization that don't reside here, put that in the treasury, and then lower the boat registry for Bahamians. Okay? That's just some of the stuff you want to talk about. And that's my two cents on that. Other thing they want to talk about is the new fishing regulation are being pushed through without approval from the National Fisheries stakeholders, forum. That means they're not advising them. They're not being informed. The government and parties to be are just going ahead with it. You know, like the fisheries regulations association does not exist. Okay, and then they want to talk about the key fishery habitat is being destroyed by endless large coastal development without concern for the sustainable of coastal fisheries, risking access to seafood, to subsistence fisheries across the Bahamas. So that means people are damaging the corals and stuff. Listen on the radio, on Guardian Radio, Guardian Radio News, and there are some destruction or Adelaide with the coral. So these things need to be looked into because these things are very important to the safety of the Bahamas. You know, if the coral reefs get damaged in the Bahamas, you know what happens. It interferes with the fish, it interferes with the weather, it interferes with everything, you know, and it can be devastating to the Bahamas. So this is no joking matter. And I'm an environmentalist, you know, I'm an environmentalist. I love animals, I love the sea, I love everything about, you know, nature. He also wants to talk about questioning the removal of the Minister of Agriculture and Fisheries, Clay Sweden, for his post, despite being a fisherman and qualified to lead the government efforts. That's four. They also say lack of outreach to the major fishing organization by the government on major decision impacting the fishing industries. You know, so stuff like that, you know, they want to talk about. And there's some very important matters that needs to be discussed because Bahamian voice, and like I always say, we Bahamians have become a concrete jungle. Well, the Bahamas is not a concrete jungle. Yeah, we're building two-story, three-story, four-story building. You know, we're building all these, what we call them, settlements or subdivisions. Cutting down all the trees, you know, and doing all this stuff. You know that we can do these things, but we also have to preserve nature and understand that trees play a vital role to the health of the country, and we must remember that. You understand? So, yeah. Stuff like that. So, and it's very important that we encourage also the next generation of Bahamians to get themselves involved in being a fisherman, you know, learning about the sea, you know, learning about the season, the grouper season, learning about the conch season, you know, learning about the shrimp. There's tuna passing through in the Bahamas, you know, there's mackerels, you know. There's so much and so much money that can be made in the fishing industries in this country. That's why, as a advocate, you know, I speak on the matter that we really introduce fishing and the rules of engagement of fishing and the benefits to the next generation of Bahamian. Because, you know, we talk about drugs, you know, but you know that out there in the sea, you know, that is the real drugs, you know. You just have to go and prepare yourself, get the best set of equipment, you know, be a team player with your fellow fishermen, work together. Let the boat get their share, you know. You can make thousands and thousands of dollars, you know. Make sure that, you know, you don't underfish means you get the right size fish. So before you become a fisherman, you know the basic, you know the season, you know what size conch to pull out the water, you know the male, you know the female, you know what time is reproduct, you know if you get a fish, you know, group or something that probably let it go, and you know, et cetera, a conch or something like that, you know, you just know the basic. You know, you're not just going to go in the ocean and just shoot everything you see. You know, you're going to be well prepared. So we need to put training in place also. But there's so much that can be learned as far as education about the fishing industry in the country. 50, 60 years ago, it was a very beneficial business in the country. But since we go on to fast food, Kentucky, McDonald's, you know, we switch, you know, we don't eat as much seafood as we used to, you know, and the thing is, fish is good for the blood, you know, fish is good for cancer, fish oil is good, you know, it's healthy healthy meal, you know, don't really get you sick. So it's good to consume. You know, there's a lot of other good products in the ocean, like seaweed, for example. If you look around the world, the seaweed that you see on the beaches and stuff like that, they're some of the best medicine that you can probably find in the world. You know, and out there in the sea, there are so much knowledge that can be learned by having the fisheries trading schools around the country. You know, so much, you know, a lot of medicine out there in the sea, you know, more than online, I guess. You know, like I said, the seaweed is big business. We get conch shell, conch, you know, we have sports fishing in the country, you know, where guests from around the world come to the Bahamas just to catch the big blue marlins and, you know, the barracudas and the bonefish, you know, all this stuff, you know. So there's so much to be learned, and unemployment don't have to be the way it is in this country. If we really utilize our resources, and our resources is the fishing industry, it's also part of the tourism industry. You know, we ain't making no sense in this country because of the unemployment and poverty in this country, because it don't compute in my brains, because right now we're on record pace when it comes to our tourist arrival by boat and by plane. It is estimated that we hit 7.7 million visitors. I think this is the highest GPA, I'm going to call it, that we had. I think it's increasing by the end of the year. We could be looking at 8.7 million or 9.9 something million people visiting our shores. And there are millions of dollars being invested on Bay Street where the tourists are stopping, you know, shopping to the Bahamian stores along the waterfronts, you know. And the sad part about it is that the American currency, and we talked about this a few shows ago, you know, it's more like you're going digital, and, you know, you're going to need to use cards and et cetera now. And, you know, Bahamians don't really, over the hill, don't really have that kind of technology. They do, but not in abundance, like how everyone's supposed to be educated on it. You know, government is just pushing these agenda. But yet still we have a population that is, you know, educated in a sense, but not trained in a sense to know how to gather up all the information and to go and do all of these, what you're going to call digital. You know, because now cash is going to be relevant in the next 50 to 100 years. And everything is just going to be, you know, chip and swipe card and, you know. So, yeah. Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of new opportunities that can be created in the fishing industry in the country. Like I said, the tourism industry, 7.7, we could go anywhere to 8 to 9 million by the end of December. And we have a high arrival estimate for 2025. You know, we'd be on record pace from January to December, at least from December to January, I mean December of this year, 2023, 2024, yeah. And going into the new year, and in part of New Year, December, we are looking at record pace, probably anywhere to 10 million visitors coming to our shores every day by air, by plane, you know, by boat, you know. And when we look at what comes over the hill, you know, I see Byron, you know, he has a sticky hut, very successful businessman. I watch him as a young boy transform that business from just selling coconut water and conch shell to now he has made himself a successful business where he hires up to 20 to 30 employees. When I asked him about a year, 3 years ago, you know, he sponsored the show, live show. he said that he pays his employees anywhere from $1.2 million per year. So he is he's a millionaire in his way, and he's helping others. But the whole point I'm trying to say is that the money that he pays his employees, $300-$400, most of them would take that and go over the hill. Wherever they're living, they could be living in Camp Road, or they can be living Fox Hill, Bantan. But basically, they get paid in American currency because that's the money we gathered from the tourists coming off the ship. And that's how the little few million dollars gets over there. Few million dollars gets over there. And what happens is that when they go, when they stop, the takeaway store, and they'd spend $20 or $50 American, and then the store owner would break it. Then the other rest of them, people who work into the scrum market, the taxi drivers, they're doing the same thing in various parts of the community. So that's how American money gets into the economy in the inner city. But that's the slowest pace ever. Because when you look at it, what is collected on Bay Street in a year time with the 7.7 million visitors visiting our shore, that could be anywhere, $200-$300 million made. And then what you're looking coming over the hill from the employees by Tiki Hut, Joey's Restaurant and Bar, Drifters Restaurant and Bar, and, you know, and all those restaurants and stuff on Fish Fry and on Jonkunu Beach. Only a little $1-2 million coming over. And that can't compute. You understand? That can't compute. But when you're looking at what makes on that script, like I said, $300 million. So if we're looking at why so much people are unemployed in the country, it's because we are not tapping into the market that we need to tap into. Okay? Visitors coming to the Bahamas are not guests. Okay? Let me tell you what it is. They are customers. Okay? Slavery days over a long time ago. And when we look at tourists, they are customers. Yes, they are guests. We would treat them with hospitality. But them visiting the Bahamas is to bring money in the economy so that we could get rid of unemployment in this country. So if we have 7.7 visitors this year, we still have high unemployment, despite the government claims that unemployment down is in 15 years. And I give them credit for that on their statistics. But why? Think about that. Why? And there's not millions of American dollars floating around on the inner city communities of Nassau, New Providence. But yet still on Bay Street, it's just American currency. From one end of Bay Street to Port Isky Dock, to all the Pope Deck and to all of those exclusive companies that will form, all them of American money. But in the inner city community, we have less. If any behemoth want American money, they probably have to go to the small local drug dealer who would accumulate some of the money from the different people who would come to him and bring American money to taxi, when this taxi driver, this person spending. You understand? And that's how we got to look at it. And then it's the fare. Like, we're using crime as a way to say, you know, we can't let the Bahamian people interact with the customers. But that is ridiculous. I call, I'm going to come to you in a minute. It's ridiculous. They won't think like that. If you look at the crime statistics in the country, right now we're up to, 77 murders? Black on black. Not one tourist of being killed with a firearm come to this country. So we had 7.7 million visitors from around the world has come to the Bahamas. White, Caucasian, Chinese, Japanese, Australians. And they come to the Bahamas. They've been here. Yet still be getting travel advisory from around countries around the world saying that the Bahamas is a dangerous place. But yet still, see, this is a trickery that I study. No one come up with this. I've been saying this for years. This is my statistics, and I've been given many statistics similar to this. Think about this. We have 70-something murders. But if you look at all the murders, it's black on black. 7.5 million visitors visiting the shores. Not one of them being killed with a firearm. Now, it do happen. But most Bahamians are not stupid enough to go out there and mess around with our bread and butter. Now, we have robberies. Sometimes might be rape, sometimes not be rape. Yuck and poise. Those things happen around the world. But if you look at it when it comes to harming tourists, our statistics are like 0%. But we get travel advisory. We get the police wouldn't allow the tourists to come over there, and the minute you're walking over the hill, they're telling you, go back. But I've been bringing guests in that community for the last 20, 30 years. I just had in the community along with my partners, Lenahan, Bahamas, East Gospel Chapel Church. I had the British Royal Navy here 2 months ago. Now, these guys had a battleship parked in the harbor. They didn't ask for protection from the Royal Bahamas Police Force or the Royal Bahamas Defense Force. They put in the hands of the community leader, where I'm a community developer now, on Lenahan Bahamas. And I was turned over as the sub-lieutenant, and I was giving orders to the British soldiers. And they were up and down Lewis Street. You understand? Then, 2 weeks ago, we had the U.S. Navy down here. And they did the same thing. Then we just had the University of Florida down here with the women's basketball team playing on the park on Hayes Creek. It's ridiculous. But anyway, we're going to take this call. Let me see if I can get this call on. Go ahead, caller. You're on inside Inner City. Call you there.
Try it again.
Call you there. I missed that. But anyway, like I said, you could try call bar. And that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. You know, we are branded. And the stupidity of many of our citizens, they would see the tourists coming over there. And the first thing they say, where y'all going? Y'all best go back over there. You're down on your own self. Let's see if I get you on, Carlo. Go ahead, Carlo. Let me see. Hello there. You have to give it some time. The producer just stepped out for a minute or so. So you could comment a little later on in the show. And yes, we have millions of dollars that pass through the country on Bay Street. And only a few dollars comes over. That's crazy. So, if it make any sense to you, like how I'm picking it apart to show you how we down ourselves. And tourists are walking over the hill every day, you know. Every day, tourists are walking over the sidewalks that was put in place by the Ingham administration and continued under the PLP administration. And one of the reasons those sidewalks were made in the first place was to make a gateway for the guests, customers to walk down in the inner city communities and see old Nassau. Oh, the phone line is going crazy. Trying to get. Call you there? I know. Anyway. So we bring one another down, and I, like I said, you know, we have people who would see the guests coming over the hill, and they would, you know, we all going, y'all don't know what down there. No, that's for us. See, saying that to the tourists is like you are saying to them, it's dangerous down there. No, it's dangerous for you. It's dangerous for us because we have a block and block problem where if you look at it every year, we have close to 100 Bahamians getting killed in the country. We have more tourists die of traffic fatality in this country than you're going to ever hear about gunshot or a knife, traffic fatality, or drowning, or shark bite. They're going to die because of accidents. They're not going to die of a Bahamian poison, rarely. They're not going to die of a gunman who done being involved in all kind of shooting on inner city communities, taking a gun and going down there, and as bad and as rough and as dangerous as he is, he don't have the nerve to take a gun and go down there and say he's going to shoot up Bay Street or to go kill a tourist from Australia or America or Canada. He don't have the nerve because and he those people don't compute in his mind. In fact, the majority of Bahamians fear the tourists, okay? Because I introduced them to many of the guys in my community, and some of the roughest and toughest guys I knew was afraid to even speak to the guests in the community. I had to coax them. They didn't even know what to say, how to approach, or what kind of conversation to have with the guests. And then we just started off a little simple. You know, no tourist is no threat when they come to the Bahamas. Their lives is never in danger. Okay? So the tourism industry and all the government investment that they are investing in, you know, in the billions, you know, Chester Cooper, Deputy Prime Minister, the Honorable Prime Minister, major investments in their constituencies. And they're investing where their constituents can benefit from the investments that they acquired from many different companies in the country. And I can see the phone line lighting up. You know, I'm trying to, but we just have to cope with it. Still get some time. And major investments, you know, and they invested in the tourism industry because they know, the Prime Minister knows this. He knows if he want to bring empowerment to Cat Island. The Deputy Prime Minister knows if he want to bring some type of empowerment, he has to come with some type of development that is going to attract the tourists. If you notice the Deputy Prime Minister when he was speaking, notice what he was speaking on. Yeah. The producer just stepped in. So if you're still online, you could call back and give your comments. I mean, you can give your comments, okay? Yeah, because they know if they want to help people, they're going to have to come up with strategical ideas and ideas like, what you call it? Airbnb, small motels, you know, jet ski, you know, encouraging the citizens, you know, to get loans to build small local homes and Airbnb so that the residents, when the guests reach, and like I say, their customers, they can benefit from it. To get those credit cards and et cetera. Okay, so we're going to take this call. Go ahead, caller.
Good evening, Mr. Brown. How are you?
I'm fine.
You're one of your most favorite listeners.
Go ahead, sir.
Listen, I remember as a child growing up, the taxi drivers used to bring the tourists over the hill to experience the over-the-hill food.
Yes, sir.
Now, you don't see that anymore.
No more.
And I would think restaurants over the hill would give the taxi drivers a little incentive.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he brings, like when they go on the tours, look, They can say, I got my five favorite spot. I go to eat here. You all want to go and have a bite to check out the food to see if you like it? That's bringing the money over the hill.
Yes, sir.
And these are the things we do instill in our people. I don't, but we teaching them to go to the moon. And we ain't never going to the moon. Like you said, the young man couldn't even spend a conversation with the fellas from the battleship.
And, sir, you might know this. These were the guys who doing the most serious set of crimes in the country. The and then, go ahead, sir. Let me let you finish.
I just wanted to add to what you said. These are the baddest guys on the block. They wouldn't think nothing about shooting another brother. But if you try to get them in an intelligent conversation, they become frustrated and start cussing and carrying on, and they won't even pull out their gun. Because you making them mad. You see, all they know is they're getting mad, but they don't even know what they're getting mad about. But because they cannot conversate, and they're not trying to learn. And I always tell my students, people are not going to teach bad people or rude children anything. If you don't submit to yourself and have manners and respect, nobody's going to fool with you. And one day you're not going to be as young and powerful or strong as you used to be, and you're going to grow old. And I ask them, I say, you see all these young old men around here? They were once young, but they wasted their time.
And they don't have a house, car, can't even help their children. Can't even help their own children. Their children ask them to buy them something to eat. They don't need some place to stay. And the father can't even do that for their children.
And I say, but not only that, I said, they are somebody's child, the people on the street or the old. There's his family. But nobody wants to fool. I guess they're tired. Because he don't want to do any better. He or she does not want to do any better.
And it's a lot of stress on
but
people.
Boy. It comes down to
empower.
Back to what I always say, education.
Yes, sir.
Let's sit down and talk more about the general life.
Yes, sir.
General existence.
Yes, sir.
It's good to talk your little math and your proper English and your science and biology. Yes, all that you need to know so you can make better decisions.
Yes, sir.
But how many of us are going to be scientists?
Right. And the point you're trying to say, we are island. Let's utilize our skills as island people.
Yes. And let's try to get the tourists back over the hill.
Yes, sir.
That is how most of the money is going to trickle down to us we expect to get a part of the lion's share of the money.
You get that right, sir, because it's billions and billions making.
Yeah, but the tourists want to come, but it seems like the taxi drivers are not interested in bringing them over the hill anymore. I'm sure a couple of them would come. For out of 8 million people, you must get 100,000 people during the course of the year to come over the hill.
That's why, I'm encouraging people to be creative in their community, cleaning up your community, set your little fish fry up, and make sure that the old cars go, and you start sending your flyers and tell the taxi drivers to come to you. I'm doing it now in our community that we speak of now, I have enormous stock.
I got a pastor. I saw you billing your place.
Yes, sir. So,
I haven't seen it for a while.
I'm just trying to encourage more people to get their little place set up. So we have a wide range of stops that the tourists, when they come in the Grandstand community, they have me to stop to. They have the little Braden here down the road. They have Lennon. They have the churches and everywhere. So we can have the Coconut Boys on the side of the road just selling the little coconut water, sky juice, and et cetera.
I'm screwed.
Yes, sir.
When you have your community activities, take 5 minutes out and talk to the children and let them know, look, we're expecting some guests.
Yes.
This is what you do. Yes, sir. No, sir.
Yes, sir.
Ma'am.
Yes.
Oh, where are you from, sir? You start to learn.
Yes.
To speak.
Yes, sir.
A lot of people don't know how to speak.
Yes, sir. And how you saying that? The Lanahan organization. How they help the British and the U.S. people coming in, the colleges coming in, the kids are asking them the same questions. So their intellect skills are really improving. Their communications and their speaking skills are really improving. They know how to deal with Caucasian people, as I would say.
And some of those bad boys who think they're bad, you need to talk to them. Say, look, man, one day you're going to be old, if you live.
I don't have to tell them. I don't have to tell them that.
Well, I mean, they know that.
They could see the Rodian playing with no voice. them
somehow
shots.
They think they're invincible.
So them shots, right? When I call them corn. They ain't playing with nobody. You giving them, you got to take them as well.
And listen, I always say the shooter likes to shoot at people, but he don't want to be shot at.
Because he don't get the hot corn.
No, he don't want to feel the hot lead. That's a different experience altogether.
Why do you think when he do foolish things, he go hide or go to jail?
Because that hard lead ain't nothing to play with. But I always say they love to shoot at people. But when somebody starts shooting at them, you can't catch them. They turn that corner so deep. Sound in their pocket.
Of course, a lot of people get shoot.
Yeah, I mean, they turn that corner so deep. Sound be in their pocket when they shoot them. You're so laughing. I like to hear you laugh. Some of them turn them corners so tight that they stand me in their pocket.
The shooter car, they will shoot them off fast. Oh, great. That's why other people, that's why so much energy people get shoot, yeah, sir.
They hug them bed so tight. They just come over them.
But it's the same boys who just shoot up the club or shoot up one boy. Yeah, day, yeah. Sir.
But if you start shooting at them, you can't see. You don't do very short.
So you ain't making no sense. No,
he ain't making
that.
No sense.
Why didn't all them aside? That's why I try and tell you. I had my share. So, I need to tell them, I just want to give that advice to the young kids, don't fall in our footsteps. But the set who 17 and 18, man, I tell you, I say, buddy, all I can tell you, I just leave this quote. The murder count is 90, right?
If you want to be 91.
So, I know you don't kill 91 people this year, and I sure you don't kill 100 last year. Not a one or two you kill, right? If you think that could scare somebody, right? You done been in jail, and the time you been in jail, you've been in jail from but 2 years, right? And in that 2 years, 240 people get killed. So what that trying to, you understand what I'm trying to tell them?
Yeah. Listen, have you ever heard anything about Joe Billy?
Yes, sir. Joe Billy Festival, yes, sir.
Joe, my mommy used to say, Joe Billy said, it ain't healthy sky. I can't use the accent word,
yes,
but
sir.
I put something in place. It is not healthy fooling around when it's dark.
Yes, sir.
That ain't healthy. And nowadays, it ain't healthy in the day.
No.
That's how times have changed. One time ago, people used to do things in the dark.
Because the devil loose now, sir.
Uh-huh. Now they doing it in broad daylight.
Yes, that's because...
So if you want to join the stiff-toe gang...
Go ahead.
Like you say, keep fooling around.
Keep fooling around. You ain't gonna mess it.
No. Listen, another thing I wanted to ask you, I was wondering. I was thinking the other day, the yellow grits, because you were talking about fishery and it made me think about it again.
Yes, sir.
The yellow grits that we eat so much of, is that produced in the Bahamas?
Yeah. You know? Well,
I'm wondering because I want to know what can we produce to feed ourselves.
Well, so
in the old days, you know, the people used to grind the corn and get their yellow, what they call hominy.
So the question,
you don't hear that anymore.
So I think we could grow anything in the Bahamas. I think we just need to put the education and knowledge there and apply it and make it mandatory in schools if kids are academically inclined to make trades available in different varieties so kids could pick and choose and let them go on and help sponsor them.
Corn, all you do is grind that and you get the grits, the hominy.
So?
And that is something we can easily produce and... They down there at Bamsey, they should be producing. That is something they can produce and sell to the market. Because the yellow grits don't come in a professionally bag.
Yes,
it comes in a plastic bag.
Yeah, so much stuff.
So it seems like they scoop it out and put it in the bag and weigh it.
Yes, sir.
So I'm wondering, where does this yellow grits come from?
Yes. Well, I think we can manufacture anything in the country.
Well, that's something for you to look up for me. So next time, I'll call you next week.
Yes, sir.
To get an answer on it because I won't have the time to look it up.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
You did a wonderful job. Are we going to take this next call? Go ahead, caller. Sorry for taking so long. Go ahead, caller.
Hello.
Yeah, good night.
Hello, Scrooge.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. You're down a little too low. You could turn it up just a little bit.
Boy, I'm talking loud, but you sound like something wrong with the phone today because... I called you the first time that one of you hang up on me or the phone hang up on me.
No, sir. I didn't hang up on you.
Yeah, I know you must have could do that this morning.
No,
that quick.
No, sir. I don't
know. All I had to say was good night, Scrooge, and then it was gone.
No, sir. I never do that.
I keep calling back. It was busy, and you and the last caller sound like you almost opened up a comedy show just now. You break on one piece of laughing when that fella say sound was in the fella corner, turned in the corner.
Yeah.
That made me slide down so low to the ground.
They were shooting.
He had a bullet heading in his direction. He outrun the bullet.
Ask most people, Sparky.
The bullet bounced off the wall.
Sparky, guys who like do foolish and like shooting.
You can imagine the fella going around the corner, but he ducking lower than the wall at the same time.
He tailed between his legs, and all he do is try to get away because he never get a hard leg.
I remember one time.
Yes, sir.
When we used to go skating up on Cerebell, we used to call it Cerebell, not call it Cerebell.
Yes, sir.
We used to do this thing, what we call train. When we coming down on the sidewalk side, like
yes, sir.
The Evangelist State Temple.
Yes, sir.
be coming down on the sidewalk. There'll be like six or seven of us. And what we'll do is we line up one behind the other, and we'll hold on to each other's waist.
Mm.
And then we'll bow down on like our hip, or the skates on the ground, and we'll call that the train.
Yes, sir.
Now, the trick of this was that when you reach to the entrance, the evangelist, the temple, the one in the front, he swing in there. And the back of the train used to come around like a whip.
Yes.
And if you're to the back of the train, you don't know what to do. When that whip come around, it used to throw you down the sidewalk over by the 17th store.
Wow.
Now, the thing is, between evangelistic temple and the settlement, been a corner covered with some sand.
Okay.
Now, that'll slow you down.
Yeah, screw up.
We got up there on Saturday morning. Now, we were supposed to clean our yard first before we going to go out skating. But we duck cleaning the yard, and we got up there fooling around, disobeying our parents. And one of the fellas to the back, he in the stage right there, named Clive Sands. He was to the whip to the back. And when he let loose and that thing slid him down on his jeans and all that sand, when we get up, all we could see was pink, pink.
Strawberries, we call it strawberries.
Just pink. The sand rubbed through the jeans and rubbed through his skin.
Strawberries.
And like, it was like a pink flesh.
That's strawberry.
The blood wasn't flowing. It was just like sitting there ready to come out.
Yeah, we call them strawberries.
We had to rush him home.
Boy, when he get... Why
we had to rush him home. And when we rush him home, we tell his mother what happened. And while he was in the bathtub showering to go to the hospital, she was in there with the bell beating him. He's in the shower and she beat him. But he tried to take him to the hospital.
Because he got strawberries.
Now, when he come home from the hospital, she had to tell her husband what happened to him. He told her another beating. But all that to you what happened is him. He get too beaten on top of that.
Yes, sir.
And Stuart, you know, you got a good show. A lot of people listen. But, you know, Stuart, you know, talking reality in this country, it appears like our social leaders, political leaders, they so busy in their own program that they don't seem to listen to the people. They seem to only listen to us around election time when they want our act.
Yes, sir.
And once they get in there and become next to the king and right below the next gap, you got the king first, the governor general, and then the prime minister. That's the order of the day.
That's the order of the day.
Order of the day. The king.
The king. The governor general.
No matter how independent we are, he's still the king.
He's still the king. We serve
the governor general is the representative of the king.
Of the king. Ambassador.
And nothing goes into law in the country unless the governor general signed that.
That's right.
Nothing goes in the law unless the Senate signed that.
That's right.
And it comes down to, they call it the lower house.
That's right.
But we call it the bigger house.
That's why I always tell people.
The House of Assembly is actually the lower house.
I like how you explained it to them.
It's the lower house.
That's how government runs people.
That's where they discuss things and get it. And the governor general got to say, okay, because they want to stay in another 5 years to get that money.
Yes, sir.
So they can sign off anyway, whatever the prime minister say. You all decide on it?
Yes, sir.
The governor just can't say, no, I disagree, I signed it. Well, you know, the prime minister can change the governor.
Yeah.
Yes, write a letter to the queen.
Yeah.
To the king, I should say.
Yes, sir.
So what has happened is we always seem to be so far behind our brother right to the north of us, America. I remember working the Matelco. You remember when the first thing the beepers came out?
Mm-hmm.
We have home phone for you. That's a little small square thing on your pocket called the beeper.
Yeah.
Then Motorola came, but hello, Moto. Then Nokia come.
Yes, sir.
Then cellular come.
Yes, sir.
Then after cellular, then Samsung come with a little phone, you could text.
Yes, sir.
You couldn't take no picture then. Then BlackBerry come. Then the new smartphones come. I've been through telco and all our communications.
Yes, sir.
You know we was always about 5 years right behind Florida.
Yeah.
Right across the road, take 45 minutes to get over there. Florida had cellular before New Providence.
Yes, sir.
And some of the things with Seattle to talk about with the technology, what he learned a long time ago, we 5 years behind everything. We always 5 years behind.
And we right there to Florida, in America.
And that's why, let me tell you something. I see by sometimes the two are scared to come over the hill when they hear what they hear, you know.
Why you think they're scared to come over?
I live in New Providence. I grew up in Chippendale. May the 4th, 1951. I used to be scared to go through somebody's corners myself when I used to walk through barefoot.
Why?
Man, because you only know then when fellas be running behind the next fella throwing yard, shooting something, and before you know it, when bullet comes from one air, one of my air holes, and goes straight through the neck, and
yes,
all
sir.
I do is walking down the road.
Yes, sir. I agree.
I scared to go through some of the corners where I grew up, but I used to walk through that barefoot.
And you know that
I scared to drive through some of them corners.
And you know why a lot of people scared? This is the one reason. Everyone just waiting on government. See, a person like me of being has thrown that away. That's why we're making changes in our community. That's why so much development is happening in the Grandstand community to fight against square away shorts and at-risk young youths in that particular community.
Scrooge, I remember I used to walk up in Camp Road in the night by myself, walk from Madero Street to Camp Road, White Sedition.
Neglect.
My girlfriend used to live through White Sedition.
Neglect happened. That's
I scared to drive up and through there.
I agree.
But I remember when I used to go down in Nassau Village to go places to buy chicken in the bag in the night and go shoot pools.
Yes, sir.
Down to some of the club and places.
Okay.
I scared to drive through Nassau Village.
Okay.
Because I know Redman fellas will run off the basketball court after the next set of it with AK-47.
Okay, thanks. Well, you could, one more. You could say one more word before you go, please. We have some other people on the line.
Who, me?
No, I say some other callers on the line. Go ahead.
Yeah, but I like to say it's keep up the show, keep it real. But I wish our leaders and start listening to the people. But we reached the point in our life now. We got to start helping the Bahamians.
Yes.
And stop helping the foreigners fight.
Yes.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much, Sparky. You made some good, had some good words there. And that's the truth, you know. You know, for me as an individual and as a citizen, I have worked with Selinden Pinlin, the late great Selinden Pinlin. I got knowledge about politics from him. I got to understand like certain things about government. I also worked with former Prime Minister Perry Gladstone Christie. I have worked with numerous ministers of national security, Honorable Tommy Trengrass, who I feel is the most passionate, understanding minister of national security I ever met. Having a personal relationship with Tommy, you know, I thought he, you know, was an uptight person, but come to think about it, meeting the person, he is one of the most reasonable person I've ever met as a minister. He taken into account, you know, he answers the phone call, and he is always on time, and he always could tell you if he can do something or not can do, or he is not going to be able to do it. You know, I've worked with late great Dr. Brandon Nordich. You know, I've worked with current minister, Warren Miller. I worked with former minister of education, Jeffrey Lloyd. And like he says, you know, when these guys get elected, I'm not referring to some of them, but, you know, they just don't have the passion for this. See, they don't, some, a lot of them don't understand. I'm not saying Warren Miller or some of them. They just don't have the passion for it. It takes citizens themselves to make change in this country. If you look at all the activism going on in this country right now, look at the people who are fighting for and make change. People who are on the inner city communities have their little platform and they're speaking on what they need to fight for. You know, like the Fishing Association, if young men are out there and they're saying that the government is increasing the fishing regulation prices, right? And they don't like it, right? So you guys get together as a team, have one spokesperson, y'all support that person, and let them speak on behalf of the fishermen in the country. See, that's the kind of things would make changes. You see, for me, I'm speaking on it on the radio, but I'm also doing it in my community, you know? And I want to say this. There are people, right, who, this is me personally, there are people in this country and in the community that would say, me, Valentin O'Brien, you know, they called me, my original name is Scoochie, my nickname is Scoochie, Scrooge, they called me, a European gave me the name Scrooge, but my original name is Scoochie. The original Scrooge is Kelsey Lundy, and he lives in Scronscona, and he has a restaurant and bar along with his beautiful wife, Melissa, on Gibbs Corner, I mean Ross Corner, and they have a restaurant. But my original name is Scoochie. So there are people out there, right, who would say that I getting all this money, right? And I ain't doing nothing for nobody. Let me say this to each and every one of you out there. I ain't like the rest of people in the world. There's money received. It goes strictly to Lenahan, Bahamas. And the funds go directly to helping the old people in this community, to the kids, the Bible school, the feeding program, the scholarship, the trips. See, I like the rest of y'all, where y'all have an organization name in your name, and y'all's the treasurer. No, no, something that I helped found it. I don't write checks. I see Ben Lucas and the organization show me the money you receive by special donors who know me personally. A lot of people from around the country, and they love what I'm doing. And they sponsor. And that's how we keep the organization going in the community. See, I ain't like the rest of these people in the country. Y'all don't get me mixed up. And for those who saying this type of things, and if I getting all the money, I deserve what I get. Because ain't none of y'all help me. Not one of y'all. I live in that community. And you don't want to help me. You understand? No one has helped me in there. Huh? All should remember this. When I asked people from many years ago, let's get together. You know, it's difficult working with black people. You understand? Because the mind of the poverty, you know, they think negative about everyone. You know? They don't think everyone has a pure heart and honest. But I am honest. And I have a pure heart. And money don't move me. And they so stupid. I've been around the corner working on my restaurant for 15 or 20 years. Buildings don't get built in the community. Getting ready to open. And I bottle it. And that's the concept of us. I like y'all. And like I say, if I get any money, I deserve that. I don't have to get on one. Then who you want me to give it to? Who I supposed to do something for? Or who I don't do for? You know which people I just help? All around the country, every day, every minute, and you don't know, send you to the church, send you this way, send you this way. You understand? So don't get me a mix up and think I like you guys. I'm doing something for my country, and I'm doing that sincerely, not with y'all help. Let me tell you where my help has come from. I know very well when I ask brothers, let's get together. Let's try and make some changes. Let's form an association. They see you talk to some people, some white people. Who are you getting all the money? Y'all think white people stupid. Eh? Y'all don't know how white people is. Eh? Y'all think white people stupid. You think white people is going to just come to you and give you money? But you have to have a plan. And they have to see you sincere. You understand? And that's how things is work. Why didn't we get all those donations? Because people know I'm honest and I'm trustworthy and I'm a team player. I ain't like y'all. Y'all don't get me mixed up. So I just saying that. Send a message. I ain't like y'all. You know what I say? I get funds from my people. I invest the funds that I receive to clean up the neighborhood. To keep on cleaning up Lewis Street, Hay Street, Taylor Street in that community. For the last 15 years, I've been working personally, not with no government contract, but people who just, you know, and it's a back and forth. But guess what? After all that, after all hard work, our community is development. Development. You understand? So don't get me mixed up with y'all people. You know? Y'all like money. That's the way y'all think. And my family, the Brown family, let me explain something with my family. My grandmother's name is Lavias Brown. She passed away a few years ago. Most honest, decent person I know. She don't like people business. She don't keep company. Hey? I take just after my grandmother. I don't like people dance. Anyone know me? I tell you, I happy for everyone. And you ain't gonna see me. If money given out, you ain't gonna see me. All right? When money you get on election time, I done turn down all kind of money. Huh? All type. Because I have my integrity. And everyone noticed. And everyone will tell you I turn down money from election. Because people won't give me money for election to go speak on behalf of them. No. Probably when you catch me when I was younger, when I was a fool. But I know that's going to do more harm than good. For a person like in my statue, to go out there and take money from any political party to say, hey, this candidate, he is a good man. Yeah, I do that as an individual because, you know, like I said, I'm a community developer. Only if he is going to commit to doing some programs and putting some funds towards the programs that we have set in place in that particular community. And as the representative of that community, that's his job. That's the only thing I talk to MPs on. If there's a program and he can assist. Other than that, no. So to all of y'all, you don't help me in the community. Anything, anyone doing anything for me, I pay money, I pay cash. The guys who've been cleaning up for the last couple of years, ask them. Ask them if I treat them bad. Ask them if I underpay them. Anyone who do any work for me, ask them if I owe them a dime. Huh? So yeah, that's the type of people we are. So I just want to send a message. Yeah. 7:23 and back to, yeah man, we stink. I like y'all people. If you're listening to this radio, you ever see me come over here and tell a lie? Huh? I ain't a liar. Ain't nothing you could hear come out of my mouth on this radio that I lie about, that I've not witnessed, that I'm not seeing with my eyes. And I ain't a coward. Hey? And I ain't a coward. And I ain't scared to speak up. I'd speak against the commissioner of police. I'd speak against the prime minister. I'd speak against the governor general if they're wrong. Right? But how many of you get the courage to come on a radio station and say those type of stuff? That should show you what type of person it is. Do you think people like, in high places like a person like me, they respect me? Eh? But they don't like. But they respect me because many people told me they would wish they was in a position that I was in. You understand? Because they like what I'm doing. But not only in my country, for the world. To show that there's decent, honest people who care. And it ain't all about no money, fame, or trying to hurt people. It's about using the platform to send a message that there's still good people in this world. Yeah. So for all you guys out there talking about, you know, Brent Simonet. Mr. Simonet, that man ain't no fool. Mr. Simonet, no, I's a decent person. They want to help me and help the community. You think these people give you any millions of dollars? No, it don't work like that. You're all a bunch of fools. All you all the ideology of the majority of people who are unemployed, who are uneducated and stagnant in this community has to change, people. That's why it's so important that we bring education and we find a way on how we can utilize the skills of those people who are academically inclined. They're not good in maths, they're not good in English, but they might be good with ping, braiding, yeah, fisheries, good with air, good with making stuff, electronics, electrician, plumber. You know, so we could get this, that's black crab syndromes where you're pulling on everybody and thinking everyone is alike. Everyone is not alike. Everyone don't think alike. And definitely, I ain't like everyone. I'm a rare species. You know, I care for others. You know, before I succeed, I said, I want my restaurant be completed in a certain time frame. But at the same time, I want to see the area develop. I want to see the park utilized. I want to see one or two centers come up in the community where we could be able to empower the next generation. And that is happening. And I say I want the people to see that, you know, I work in as a team and we climbing together. Not me investing everything in me. No, I said, Lenahan, all the funds that people are donating towards the organization, I don't want to have nothing to do with that. The only thing I want to see is when the kids going on scholarships, and the kids going on trips, and the old people going on trips to the, on Mother's Day and wherever they're going, and they're getting their gift box, and the kids getting their back to school, and people are giving the kids phone, and they're getting tennis for their excellent work. You know, and I'm seeing all this, so I'm happy, you know? I'm happy to see the transformation. And I'm very happy for all the people around the country who are being donated to Lennon Bombers. And I want each and every one of you to know that the funds is changing the dynamics of that community. So many kids are going off the scholarship. So many kids are getting trained in so many different programs. So many kids are getting meeting and interacting with people from around the world, Florida, England, Germany, France, some are even getting adopted and, you know, going, you know, so it's just incredible. And I'm witnessing this with my own eyes. So I want to thank the Caucasian Bahamian community, because I know dealing with our own blacks with the mindset on how they think, we would never get that far in that community. That's why we have a broad range of Caucasian and black Bahamians working together, like Antonio Roberts, Ed Dorsett from East Street Gospel Chapel Church. We have Pastor Hugh DeRoe during his part at Salem Union Baptist Church. We have Bishop Ferguson with Big Harvest Community doing his thing through Woods Alley, you know? And we are making that change. You understand? It's Sheila Pritchett, you know, Coles of Nassau, you know, the Bacardi family, the Sean Connery family. I'm talking about James Bond. You know, his family donated to the cause of Lennon Bombers to contribute to the development of the community, you know, because I knew that partnershiping and asking people for help and the right people, and they saw I was sincere. You know, and it started off with one person, you know. It started off with me first, and then I met Ms. Alexandra Millis, and she turned me on to Lucas Metropolis. Okay? And when I met Ms. Alexandra Millis and ran for the home, that's why I say, let me tell y'all people out there, y'all don't get me mixed up. All right? Y'all don't know how I had to go out there and strategize and use the wisdom from the Father to come up with strategic plan to try and eradicate poverty and crime and bring education and empowerment and opportunities to the community that I reside in, and also to use the areas and encourage others in their community to do the same thing. Adrian Fox is doing it at the Fox Foundation. You understand? Bishop Rule, singing Bishop, I love him to death, doing his thing. You know, C.B. Moss, you know, he have health problem, and I think that's going to be it for him. So people don't know what I had to go on through. Ain't none of y'all helped me. Not one of y'all. You know who helped me? Father. People hear me on this radio, and other people are saying about Christianity. I don't believe in Christianity. I believe in believers. If you ask me, I believe in John the Baptist. Yes, I do. If you ask me, I believe in Jesus, who is Yahshua. Yes, I do. If you ask me, I believe in God. Yes, I do. I know his name, Jehovah, or whatever you want to call him. I believe him. I just don't believe in Christianity, because I know true Christianity, if it is done the right way in this country, and it's 21/7, 700 islands, 700 years, we would be the greatest country in the world if we are really, really Christians. That's what I feel. Because we have close to 5,000 churches in this country. And Great Rome, right? Great Rome, where the majority of religion come from, don't have 5,000 churches. Go ahead, caller. You're on Inside Inner City on Guardian Radio.
God bless you, Scoochie Brian.
Good night. What do you say?
Yeah, you know, very interesting conversation, a diverse conversation, of course, right? And so when it comes to religion, you know, sometimes, you know, I think me and you on the same page as far as we have dissimilarities in our ideologies with the status quo Christian ideology. Mm-hmm. You understand what I'm saying, Scoozy?
Yes.
Everything that he was taught, if you can't think deviantly from that, then you mean your mind was caught, bought by all sort. I'm telling you this, Scoozy, because there was a guy on Howard Show the other day, and he was saying, like he was kind of insulted, but I agree with everything else he said as far as the Abrahamic chart and people using the Bible to say God was prejudiced. Only the Jews and people back in the Old Testament, God tell them to do this, kill all the non-religious, slaughter the men, and take the cattle and whatever, and, you know, just the idea of what you read in the Old Testament.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people say what God tell them to do. I don't really believe in all that. Some people say, you know, they call it the Holy War, God tell them to do this one, slew this one, and we see where an incestuous relationship produced the wisest man, et cetera, et cetera. So we could go all down the line, and then he seems to deny the fact that even someone in my high school chat, when I told him, I quoted Hosea chapter 13, in which Anko was able to put me right on the spot. Because I know I'd read it, but Anko reminded me that it was Hosea 13. I am the Lord thy God, I come out of the land of Egypt. And black people had a problem with even hearing that. And so most of us, as we talk about Egypt, we talk about we talk about it as if it's separated from Africa.
No, all is Africa. All is Africa.
Yeah, but we don't understand the reason for the white man introducing a subject called Egyptology. Mm-hmm. So they can decipher the truth and determine your
separated.
History.
Separated.
Yeah, because history is written by the winner. And so they would never talk about the black Nubian pharaohs and the black ancestry. Even I have, you know, I love my mom. I have a black historical Bible that actually juxtaposes black people with Bible narratives and history. Mm-hmm. Which we are an integral part of history. But they hide that, and so this preacher, he said everything, I love what he was saying and all. But what I hate what he said was, he hear people on the radio call us talking about Jesus was white or black. I mean, Jesus was black, and what difference does the color make? You know, I was so angry with him. You know, the thing is, he's a theologian, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I could send him to school in theology. I just hate to say that. You know, a guy that lectures to COB invited me to be free of charge to a lecture. He said he has about 100 and something Rastas in his class. There's a class coming up sometime.
Yes, sir.
Or whatever. He invited me free of charge just to join the conversation and join it. You see what I'm saying? And so, what I believe, right, Scoozy, you was talking about education and et cetera, right? And I heard an educator was on the other day on the radio. She's very intelligent. I love the lady. But what I hate, you listening?
I listen.
The fact that they want me, and see, I don't buy what people saying about incline. You know, some people are more inclined, but I mean, all right, let's say you say electrician, right?
Yeah.
You know, when I went to BTBI, I actually did equations. We did logarithms. We did Ohm's Law.
Mm-hmm.
And we did integers. We did all type of math. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So when the math started, the classes dropped, the numbers reduced. But these guys were fresh out of high school. And I've been out of school for years. But I didn't have a problem, you know. See, I don't have a problem with learning. See, I hate when people say people are more inclined. I didn't get an A in any A level. But I got B's and C's and two D's, I think. But it was 7 or 8 that I passed, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not more intelligent than anybody else. When I first went into my chemistry class, I really didn't have the mindset that I could learn this. But, you know, the teacher was so enthusiastic and so zealous towards teaching us until we started to begin to enjoy it. And then I started to learn it. And then you realize you could learn. But I hate when people make people believe as if they can't learn it. That happens sometimes in the classroom, but you have to teach. See, when the student is young, then me and you could relate to this. Sometimes the guy might not have breakfast. He might have watched mom slap mom.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody might be molesting him. The different scenarios lead to him being disengaged from what he, you know. We had a guy in my primary school class. His name was, I don't want to call his name, but he was coming to school snotty up, and he wasn't always, he was unkempt and all these different things. But he was a friend of mine.
Mm-hmm.
And so back in the days, you didn't see that much. But what I'm saying is anyone could learn. Scoozy, the desire to learn.
Hey, listen.
You can't isolate yourself.
Listen.
I mean, I understand what people are saying.
We turned the Bahamas into concrete jungle, brother. That's what we turned it into.
Yeah, Scoozy, but I agree with you totally. And listen to me about what I'm saying. I'm so glad you brought this conversation, because I just had a conversation with my fiance.
He's an island, brother.
Palmdale, but whatever, we're really touching on. This is like music. And we look at the government schools, et cetera, so music, art, science. So I was trying to get an in-depth, or maybe a journalist could go and do it. I asked her, do they have instruments? Because she graduated, she was much younger than me. I was trying to find, do they have instruments in the music classes? Is there any piano, or is there any public-private partnership? Is any, when you look at the way how the expenditure on the primary schools and the high schools, it is clear that the government doesn't really care about education.
No.
And so the most valuable resources is the human brains, and so the government know that. So the more they educate us, then the more advanced the country will be. Even when I went to Florida, I would see the Cuban guy with guys. I had a friend, Cuban friend, fixing the forklifts, heavy-duty diesel trucks, and converting in them, the hydraulics, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so we haven't taken advantage of our proximity to Cuba, because when I worked in engineering, there would always be a guy who would come and fix the escalator.
Mm-hmm.
And so even though I did electrical, I still ventured into electronics.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a young family member of mine. I encouraged him to do the electronics. He's very bright in school because he was the honor roll,
yeah,
et cetera, et cetera. So I hate this concept of just limiting people to them, but they can use their hands. I tell you, you have to use your brains and your hands.
Of course.
Because even in plumbing, right?
It's brains?
Yeah, plumbers don't. Some plumbers, they're in the field, but they didn't learn the theory. You actually have, you calculate pipe flow parameters, PSI, according to pipe diameter, all these different things that I've learned just from engineering. You know, pipe fitting and all these different things.
Yeah.
Even with electrical. So it's not, what I'm saying is, when you learn the theory, you become better at the practical.
Yeah.
So they interface one another, and that is the way to become a professional.
Yes.
You know, I take over the lady opposed to shop by Scoozy.
I come to you the same month now to come get some stuff for the girl.
Scoozy, I even hate making mistakes. I was working, must be 16 hours last night. But I worked so long, I couldn't even think no more. Mm-hmm. I just couldn't even believe. Because I couldn't believe that I actually... But it happened. But I have to pay. So if I... This might have happened maybe... This is the second time it's happened in 10 years. I don't like to go and buy people material over, you know. But what I'm saying is, when the politicians, et cetera, people make mistakes, we pay the price. When the doctor make the mistake, we pay the price. So what I'm saying is, I take so much pride in what they do, right? You understand me?
Yes, sir.
People who in this industry... The industry is so diverse, I can show them sewing machines and sewing equipment.
They're the kind of stuff we need to teach in the schools, because if you look at it right now, let me give you a prime example. Right across from you, there's a place where I see some Haitian National Day Bohemians, and they collect the old fridge and old stoves and all that. I watch them guys fix them and make them brand new and sell them for $500-$600.
Yeah, because all they do is change the components.
So I'm just saying this to the general public out there, BTV Rider. Right?
Yeah, man. Yeah, listen to this.
Are you in a place right across from you, right?
Yeah.
I'm in the right area, right?
Yeah.
I went there with a friend. We was passing. I get my gas tank from there. The guy there made a gas tank, and I bought the gas tank for $700 from right there, and he made it with his hand. Right there, the same place
welding,
across the road.
Welding also is a good trade school.
Okay.
Well, what I did was we had an old fridge there. So my brother wanted to discard the fridge, so we ended up buying two fridges, right? And what happened is, me being an electrician, I take the evaporator motor, the condenser motor, all the motors out of the fridge before we discard it.
Yes, sir.
I know how to use them. So what I'm saying is, it's simple, you know. This is basic. But I just do that because of economics. And so what you see the Haitian guys doing, that is because economics.
I'm a Jamaican guy. So you know I lie to you. I don't tell lies. I witnessed that. I went there, like I said, personally.
Even right now with the posy scoochie, some things I don't discard anymore.
All right.
That's because of economics.
Okay, all of them could be furnished.
Yes, right. And so I explained to you how I just do it. And so I try to be as frugal as possible, because I realize everything's...
All these are trades.
I don't believe in spending money wastefully. In a sense of pandemic, I know that there's going to be another pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You heard about disease X.
Yeah, man.
All right, so what's next?
Bill Gates, he said it, all this stuff on what are they going to name? Fauci said.
Bill Gates' characters, that's how he look. You see his face?
Yeah, we'll see.
Could you trust a face like that, Scoozy?
Huh?
Could you trust a face like that? Even though a lot of us are very naive, you know. Negroes are very naive. I hate the way how some of us think. You got a picture of Bill Gates wearing glasses, holding up a black infant in Africa with a needle in the background, and then a fool, then. That's supposed to mean that he cares about you.
No, people are idiots. Some people are idiots, you know.
Yeah, but Scoozy, when I was telling them, it's a psychological photo ops. It's a psyops.
He telling you what happening?
Just to hear myself, you know.
He telling you, my brother, you're hearing yourself, because a lot of people
say that's what they said to me, Scoozy, you heard the insult.
You whine with these. See, that's the thing right there.
Whine with them.
Listen to me. Just say, all kind of people that are criticizing me, right? You think I give a crap? I'm making progress. I'm doing things through the fodder.
You're making some progress.
I'm doing things through the father, but I'm just saying I'm doing some progress through the father. I'm not looking for no ugly prayers or no criticism for no. Yeah, they don't matter to me.
But you hear me tell me on the radio when I say I wasn't looking for likes or dislikes.
Okay,
you
know, so don't let that get to you.
On YouTube, excuse me.
A lot of people like you, you know.
I could make money on YouTube, you know, even with the poetry and all.
Yeah.
Even with a little bit of knowledge and just doing documentaries, because I have my own personal archives of things documented in newspaper clippings like 20, 30 years ago. I could pull up and show people.
I got one next thing I'm told.
Bless up.
You know, you used to do an awesome job, man. You're a talented man, bro. You don't have to try and prove nothing to nobody or whatever the situation. Like I tell the people, you know, some people around the corner, they look at me as a thing, you know, they look at it. They just people just naturally hate you because you're doing something that they wish they could do. But they, you know, the problem is they don't have this. They don't have knowledge. They don't have wisdom. And they don't have understanding. And the most important thing they don't have kindness. They have a lot of envy and jealousy in them. I don't have them kind of stuff. When I was on the streets, I had those kind of stuff. But as I grew myself to change my mindset and go out and talk to a lot of politicians and pastors and, you know, meeting Michael Jackson, Magic Johnson, meeting Debbie Bartlett, meeting Perry Christie, meeting Mrs. Simonette, meeting Tommy Tarangress, meeting all kind of people from all kind of world, meeting senators from the United States, meeting queens from France and Germany and stuff like that. My mindset changed, you understand? And my intellect changed. You understand? That's why I was able to get people to wait to get us a team for the betterment of the country. So, like I say, you know, you don't want never have to worry with people, my brother. You understand? Never have to worry with people, you know. You understand? Because, like I say, people would go there and say things, hey, say things, but look at the progress. You understand? That just people, bro. You understand? That just us as a Black Rob syndrome people. You know? So we have a few more minutes, so I want to discuss something real quick. You know, the by-election just went where we had different parties vying for the vacant seat left by the late, great Obie Welshcombe. The Free National Movement with Mr. Grant, and then you had PLP trying to replace Obie Welshcombe, which he was successful. And when we talk about politics, and you know I mentioned last week, you know, that many of them who were before the court. And I ain't scared to call a name like calling name. I know based on the evidence that I see as a young man, and I've had many criminal cases before the court. And I can tell you, you know, when people are guilty, but they won their case because technicality. And because they win the case of technicality, they get acquitted. That don't mean they're innocent. Okay? Now, they say a sitting politician can only get like 6 months to a year imprisonment for these kind of charges, right? So what I'm trying to say is this. I said that a lot of politicians, you know, PLP and FNM, like I say, I'm not discrediting the politics. I'm just trying to show you how it is affecting us very seriously in the country. And I mean, politics is everything in this country. Politics can slow down the country. Politics can make progress, slow progress. We make slow progress with politics in the country. Not the progress that we're supposed to have in this country. See, it's slow progress, you understand, in the country when it comes to the development. You know, when it comes to the development of the people. You see? So, you know, when I mentioned the fact that most politicians go into politics, you know, some with good intentions, but they get corrupted because, you know, they themselves, you know, they left a high-paying job. You know, some of these politicians who become politicians, you know, they doctors. You know, you can imagine former Prime Minister Honorable Hubert Minnis. You know, he was a gynecologist, right? And, you know, he went in politics. He is making close to a couple hundred thousand dollars a year.
So why would he, you know, leave his high-paying job? And he's a private practitioner. Leave his high-paying job to go and be a member of parliament that actually earns no less than $100,000 per year. That don't compute. Just saying the same thing, but former Minister of National Security, Honorable Dr. Bernard Nordich, you know, the late great Dr. Bernard Nordich, you know, he was the same thing too, and he born a lot of babies. You know, they made millions in that field, and yearly they were making way more than what they was making in politics. So to me, you know, people go into politics rich. Okay, and along the way, activists who do activism make them make changes. But other than that, these guys are lawmakers. So they're not really concerned about the Bahamian people. They have to maintain the statute flow of government, and they have to keep government functional. You know, because Sparky said it earlier, you know, it's the king, then it's the governor general, then it's the prime minister. And that's the truth, even though it's an independent country. You understand? And he gave a good definition of when he stated that, you know, Sparky, he stated that, you know, anything that the prime minister signs on, the governor general has to sign on as well. So that's central government, you know. So there are two government. There's the parties, the PLP and FNM, right? And then it's central government. Central government continues, you know, when it's a transition, when the election is held, and then they go to see who wins the election. During that time, the governor general, the provision marshal, which is the commissioner of police, he assumes control of the country at advice of the governor general, and which is central government. So yes, all governments, PLP and FNM, their job is to make sure that government continues, but they also, you know, make sure that members of the party who has contributed greatly, both on the PLP and the FNM, have to be rewarded. The former prime minister of the Free National Movement, I know he probably is listening to the show, and he said that when he won in 1997 with the landslide victory, he stated that he had too much ministers. In regards, he stated that having too much ministers, I guess that was the war. What must he, 37, 47 ministers, cabinet ministers, junior ministers. So he had to find employment for them. Now, what do the prime minister mean by employment for cabinet ministers and junior ministers? Well, in government, you know, there are only certain government ministries that certain ministers are going to be charged and be in charge of. You know, we have the prime minister, he's the minister of finance. We have deputy prime minister Chester Cooper. He's the minister of tourism. And then you have the minister of national security is Vian Munro, and he's the top spot. And then you have like Juan Miller and blah, blah, blah. And then, you know, he's the senior cabinet ministers. And then you have the junior, you know, like Mr. Watson, Wade Watson, they junior ministers. So when you win in a landslide, you know, a part of your party winning, you have to keep your members straight in order to, for you to have a functional party structure. You know, you can't have no break guys in the party. So your job as the prime minister is to find work for the ministers, else they're going to be upset. They're going to rebel against you. And we could see that in the case of the last administration with, what's his name now? Frederick Markenbank, you know, and he was added with former prime minister and minister, and then one or two other ministers was helping out with ministers. And I just want to, you know, say this, you know, don't ever listen to the noise in the market, because, you know, market buying was making them all kind of storm, and there were so many people supporting him on media and et cetera. So he's a good man. I don't know if he did it for publicity or whatever. Can't hear from him now. But whilst he was a minister, you know, he's very outspoken. I don't know if he was trying to get a certain position from the Honorable Hubert minutes because most ministers try to favor the prime minister and get as close to him as possible because they know getting close to the prime minister and being the prime minister's friend, you get incentives. You know, but getting back to Mucklebike, and, you know, he went independent, and, you know, stated that the old Freeport was going with him. But boy, let me tell you something else, believing people. Boy, you could be out just speaking the truth, fighting for them. But boy, when it comes down at the end of the day, with the PLP and FNF, they can switch on you. And boy, when you listen, yeah, I can even get Mucklebike, even get woke. You understand? And that should show you what type of people we are in some cases. You know, and some people saying, you know, he's a pastor, he should be involved in politics, yeah. So, yeah, Hubert Ingham said that, you know, he have to find employment for them. So that means he have to form and design other ministries. And in doing so, this is going to come with the taxpayers, our pocket. That means me and you are going to have to pay for this new minister portfolio. You understand? And that's how these things run. And if you listen to the comments that the former prime minister stated, that's why he said a landslide during the election was problematic for him. And he says the same thing has happened to Brave Davis because Brave Davis is going to have to add on other ministries in order to facilitate and make the members of the body happy. And that's the bottom line. And if you was picking up between the lines, you would saw where former minister Shane Gibson, he was advocating to be the Oates chairman Fred Mitchell and then compete for the seat in Freeport. And he said himself that, you know, if you want to make major decision in the body, you're going to have to win. What you call it now? I just said it just now. The chairman of the body. Or be a strong member of parliament. So that's where our money goes, you know, to the large cabinet. So when we win a landslide and we all chair and when we say, oh, I know minister need it, and then Hubert didn't need it, and then Perry didn't need it, right? And then before all that, we give it to Lyndon after 25 years. But really? You know who really get it? Us! That's who really get it. You see? Because, you know, we're hired and fired, and it serves us right. Because, you know, they mess around, they disrespect us, and then we get agitated and we vote them out. You know, but why is we voting them out? And, you know, that's how we get our kicks, laughing at them. I mean, we head to the polls, and they get beat by 700 votes in this polling division. And then when it all said and done, you know, you ain't like, landslides, where everyone's happy, you know, all of us are cheering, you know. But at the end of the day, think about this. As bad as, and sometimes I'd say comments against former Prime Minister, Hubert Minister, not disrespectful as him as an individual, but him as a person who had power to help a lot of people, and because he was a doctor, he's supposed to be passionate and care about the people. You understand? And your personality, I would judge you by, but I know you could do better as a prime minister. You can't be that cold and heartless, huh? To the people. You understand? And that's one of the reasons. But as a family man, you gotta be a good husband, good father, and a soul soul. But me and you, and some people, you know, that's how we find it. You know? So, I just hope that, you know, we had a good topic tonight. You know, I express my views, you know, about what's going on in our country. And we, as we laugh, had them in that landslide. And I'm going to talk with Minnis, but Minnis, you know, as a former prime minister, what if this guy made anywhere from 50 to 60, probably $700 million, $70 million or $80 million just off being the prime minister? I'm just saying this. I'm saying he have this. And we're here cheering and saying, boy, he get what man the man got more money what he make off the Bahamian people in that 3 or 4 years than what 70 or 80,000 Bahamian people combined together can't make in 5 to 10 years. But that man made that kind of money in 4 years. That's the former prime minister. Now, I'm not saying that he did this, but when we ask, no disrespect to the late great Sir Lyndon Pinlan, I don't know how rich he was before he entered politics, right? And I respect him highly, but I ain't holding no punches. And just say if he was a local boy, he got funds from certain surrounding and everything, and he probably would put $50,000 back in 1960. And then he go in politics. And then, according to the constitutional or the laws, even if a member of parliament even thinks about using his position as a minister to self-gain, it's against the law. Okay? Now let's go back to Sir Lyndon. And I'm not being disrespectful. I'm telling the truth. So that those who are listening can see it makes sense. So just say if he's worth $50,000 before he went into politics. Now he went into politics after serving 25 years. He comes over with $10 million. How did he get his $10 million? Now I'm just giving that. But some people around the country say, you know, this man had $200, $300, $400, $500 million. Right? Same thing could be said about Ingram. All the members of parliament who probably was in the thousands of dollars when they first entered parliament, and when they leave after serving 20, 25 years, some accumulate over 20, 30, might even be more, 40, 50, 60 million. So if you look at that, what it tells you, so there's some truth to it, because you go in there, wait a certain amount of money, you serve a certain amount of time, and then you're a multimillionaire. And not just about every member of parliament who goes in there. We hear them having houses being built on either side. Huh? So think about this. You don't think there's some truth to this? Then look at Hubert Ingram. No disrespect to Hubert Ingram. I understand we were fighting against oppression. I understand Sir Lyndon Pinlan was fighting against oppression just as very well. All of us as well was fighting for a better way of life. You understand? But at the same time, they accumulate wealth because of politics. You understand? So I had a music playing. So I guess the producer's saying we're going to have to take a break, and then we come back and we continue this conversation on Garden Radio 96.9 FM.
Manners and respect was like a sign blind check. It seems the ones that come in after quick to disrespect. You see, this life in the ghetto never easy. So many hungry days break till it grieve me. Boy, I doing the best I can. Trying to turn my dollar to $100,000. I represent the ghetto people I from.
Nassau, Bahamas, big up Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke.
Okay, time went so fast. I just want to finish this real quick. Then Hubert Ingram, former leader of the Free National Movement, they came in before they were prime ministers or ministers, and over the course of their political career, they're in the millions. And we can say that to many different people on both sides of the political scene. So, and again, we coming out of the British rule, we're looking for a better way of life, and that's the way to get it to get in politics. That's why many of them went into politics. But in the course of that, a lot of them become corrupt And instead of trickling and dying some of the money that you receive, knowing that you're trying to empower yourself, empower your party members, you left a lot of the quarter million or half a million or a million people, you know, the few who in the political party, in the FNM, the PLP, and all those business owners who are associated with them, they accumulated the majority of the funds. So the money goes in their hands. So it's like it's going 100 people on. So you get $1 billion or $2 billion going into about 20 people hands, right? But what if those people decide, you know, I'm going to give back. I don't need, as a former prime minister, I don't need $20 million or $30 million. You know, I thief, right? So I could keep on 6-7, and I'm going to put a program in place where I'm going to help scholarships, fixing homes, and et cetera. And I'm going to encourage my other members to do the same thing. You know, we don't need the, you don't need that $20 million. Keep 15. Keep 5 back. But these guys is going to keep everything. And that is not what we fought for. That was not what the PLV was formed for. That is not what the Free National Movement was formed for. Okay? So, I have to go. I want to give a shout out to my sponsors, Drifters, Restaurant and Bar, Fish Fry. Also give a shout out to my friend, Scrubber, for his wonderful restaurant called Joey's. So, if you're looking for nice food, stop by to Joey's. Stop by to Drifters. And I want to say a special good night to my friend Cotto, the sponsor of the show. So I'll see you next week on Inside the Inner City.
I represent the ghetto people I from. Not so Bahamas, bigger Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Don't take no back talk, no bribe or no joke. If you find fire, you're definitely find smoke. Dayton, bro. Boy, I from Dayton, bro. Dayton, I say up and running.